What vehicle have you got? Range Rover. What caravan you got? Oh, we've got a Singer. Da 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 da. Do you do dogging?
And there is the hook for the podcast. Hello, welcome back to the Auto Alex Podcast, home of automotive financial mistakes, our life in cars, and your questions answered. Today, Tom Lenthal,
hey.
Taylor and I will fill your ear and your eye holes with what we've been up to. We'll answer your questions, tell you the latest car news, and discuss pointless modifications, because I want to get onto that topic. But before that, Tom, what do we do?
We say hello to everyone.
We do say hello to everyone. God,
you... Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone. specifically, Lee from Red Rose Travel Lancashire. Ellis looking forward to part three of the Vietnam trip, which we'll get onto in a minute. Andrew in Galway looking for a new family car. Callum looking forward to Shedfest. Josh on Domino's deliveries, freezing his nuts off. Jay and Kieran planning a Vietnam trip of their own. Truck driver Stephen and...
Mum.
Jackie! But in the absence of Rory being here, because he's skiing,
you do need Rory for Rory's mum.
We
Jackie,
do. Yeah. We're going to say hello to my mum,
Daniela.
Hello, Daniela.
Hello.
All right, bum. Yeah, she's out of hospital now.
Oh, that's good. Good news.
Yeah, good news. Very good news. Right. What have we all been up to? Tom, you're a special guest this week.
Ooh.
So let's get started with you. It's been a while since we've had you on the podcast. The last time was actually in NAM.
Oh, yeah, of course we were. Yeah, we did do a podcast in NAM.
How is the whole NAM thing going?
Like? Oh, God. I was saying this to you earlier. Most people probably think that I get to preview said videos and stuff like that. But
yes.
I literally get to see it as soon as... as soon as it comes out, that's when I first see it. And I've sat down and watched it with Meg, and we've been glued to the telly. And I'm just, I know I'm a little bit biased, but I found it so funny.
It's been good, hasn't it?
Yeah. And it's also proper long. Sit down, get your cup of tea ready. Oh, we need another cup of tea.
What did you think when you got the notification on YouTube and it said 1 hour 18?
Yeah, I was like, well, I thought he's gone mad. Who's going to want to sit down and watch us
it is long.
Wallying about for an hour and 18 minutes or 14 minutes, whatever it was. Yeah,
exactly.
I've enjoyed watching this. Good watch.
Good. Yeah. And all the comments as well have been very positive. Mm. People have liked us seeing take our grandfather out, just for his last rites, really. Just a last hurrah. Tom, what's been going on in your life recently?
Oh, well, we've had Christmas since we got back from NAM. We've had Christmas, and I've been out and I've sold some cars, actually.
Have you?
I've sold my Aston Martin.
Yeah, oh, have you? Okay,
yeah,
nice.
So I sold my DB7, so that's gone now. I was intending not to buy any more cars, but that didn't go well.
Oh, a bit like that.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Whoa. So. I'm still following my rule, one in, one out.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So anyway, we've had one out and I've just bought a really nice XJ12, which we're going to do some modifying
have
on.
You?
Yeah, we're going to modify that.
That's
cool. So I'm quite looking forward to that. So,
do you ever buy cars that aren't like a Jaguar? Do you ever buy interesting cars?
Well, look, it was funny.
That's funny.
See, you were always very, very, very anti JLR products, Range Rovers, Land Rover, that kind of thing. Yeah?
Yeah.
And you seem to have kind of gone in the other direction of late.
Yeah, they do. So, they do kind of get under your skin.
They do.
So I've had lots of that product. And although I think it's amazing, I do need to try some other stuff. So yes, unfortunately you too seem to have rubbed off on me a little bit. And I've been spending an awful lot of time looking at BMW M3s.
But you want an E46 M3,
I particularly want an E46 M3.
Excellent.
Yeah, and I've also been looking at Porsche 911s.
Which generation?
997.
997. Oh, a bit of competition there.
So yeah. I've also been looking at those.
We've been talking 997s, haven't we?
We have. I really want to buy one. Mm. They're quite spenny. But I found a really nice red one the other day for sale on Auto Trader. Mm. And they don't come up for sale very often in red.
It was 20, was it 20
22
grand?
Grand, I think.
But it's not the one. It's not your dream Porsche.
Yeah, but it doesn't need to be, I don't
gets
think.
Gets you on the ladder, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly.
You said it was your dream Porsche. And I was like, no, it isn't.
Dream colour.
I said this to you before, it's difficult because my dream is to own a Porsche 911. I know that the dream is an old one.
Yeah.
But I know that I will enjoy driving a newer one like a 997 more. So it would be cool to drive one of those, enjoy it, take it on a few road trips, and then buy an older one.
I would agree with you. The older ones are more appealing to me, right?
Yeah.
But they are an absorbent amount of money.
Oh, they're 100 grand.
Yeah. Real big investment.
Yeah.
So I kind of went on the theory that I thought, oh, actually, do you know what? I quite like the look of that one. It's quite nice. And maybe it's let's have a little starter for 10, you know, and see if I enjoy it.
It won't be 10, I guarantee that.
Well, it was a little, if you want a turbo one, you've got...
So what flavour are you looking for?
It was a 997.2, I think it is, second generation. Turbo.
Oh.
The big decision that I can't make my mind up on at the moment is whether I go with a manual or the automatic Tiptronic thing.
So, if it's a naturally aspirated 911,
yep,
you want a manual.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a turbo, I think you want a PDK.
PDK is not, a good gearbox.
Not Tiptronic. The PDKs are really
so
good.
So I think the early generation 997 is a Tiptronic.
And they're crap.
Yeah, and the 997.2, i.e. second generation, were PDK.
Yeah. PDK is very good.
So I just go on the theory that it's not a car that I'm necessarily going to take on the track a lot and I'm going to do this and do that. And actually, do you know what? To have an automatic that can flick through the box quite quickly is actually not a bad thing.
Yeah.
So just getting a little bit lazy, really, if I'm honest.
Yeah, but it's also quite nice to just bang through the gears when you've got a really fast car.
Yeah.
When you've got a car that's over a certain power, it's nice to be able to just, you know, just like so have really quick gear changes.
I'm manual.
Same. Always
have, if we're a toy car, I would have to have a manual, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But because this is going to be something that, I'm not going to say daily drive, but something I intend to use a little bit more than just leaving it in the...
Like your Project 8, sort of.
Well, do you know, I mean, I've done nearly 7,000-8,000 miles in the Project 8.
Have you?
A lot.
Yeah.
That is a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So, I've used the Project 8. And that's also an auto with a flappy pedal. It's a very good flappy pedal.
Yeah, it's really good. ZF8, isn't it?
ZF8. Well, so... When I said I just bought an XJ12, the whole point of buying the XJ12 is we're putting a ZF8 gearbox into it.
Are you? Wow.
That's cool.
Into a 1976 car. There's a couple of people out there that have played around with it and kind of done it already.
Yeah.
But we want to try and make something that's actually really practical and usable.
Nice.
You know, and so yeah. So anyway, I've got a gearbox. I've got an adapter plate. I've got a few other bits and pieces in place. The car is actually being delivered tomorrow.
Oh, that's exciting.
So I get the car tomorrow and then we're going to plow ahead and make a ZF8 work in an old school jack.
And then you'll have to sell it to Harry Metcalf. Harry will buy that, won't he?
I think I might pop up and see him for a day. I think he'll like it.
So you're working on that. You want to buy yourself a 911?
Yep.
What else is new, Tom?
I've been spending a lot of time on my workshop at home, putting my fast Ford together, which has been off the road.
Exciting.
So I've got a Ford Sierra,
Whale
Tail Cosworth, which I've had I didn't even realise I'd had it this long. I bought that car in 2010, so I've had it 15 years now.
That's when you and me were in school, isn't it, Tay?
You would have been in school.
I actually, 2010 was my first year of work.
Was it really?
Yeah, okay. So I left school in 2009, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
I have a request.
Go on in.
When that car's done, can you take me out on it?
Because
I've always wanted to dip into the old school Ford market and see what they're like.
This is something that me and him have spoken about a little bit, is we've got to go to Southend.
Go and do your impression.
So we're going to buzz down to Southend. You're going to paint your car and get the old Whale Tail out here. I'm going to buzz down there in my little 205. We're going to turn the place up, get nicked, have some fish and chips, and we'll bugger off again.
That's it, yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Oh, dear. So that's you out, Tom. Is that all your new news?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Not a lot else been going on, really. Right. You know, good Christmas, all the rest of it. And,
good.
You know, you no doubt going to be roping me into some things in the future, aren't you?
Hopefully so, yeah. I mean, we've got some stuff coming up that we'll maybe touch on a little bit later.
Also, but, Tom, just quickly, you've just got your E-Type back out, haven't you?
I did use it for the first time in ages on New Year's Day to go to the Hartley Whitney Phoenix New Year's Day extravaganza that happens every year. And it was the first time I've driven it since it's all been redone and everything. And I'm pleased to say it was lovely.
Good.
Nice. Yeah, really, really happy with the E-Type. Cool. Yeah, E-Type's cool.
Yeah.
Engine didn't seize up.
Nothing went bang. Nothing fell off it.
Fantastic.
So I did then spend the next 2 days cleaning all the salt off of it.
Oh, I hate that. That's bad, isn't it?
But I really wanted to use it for that day. Yeah. And I took it to work, put it on the ramp, and then we just spent ages cleaning it. And it's now tucked up again for the rest of the winter.
Happy days.
That's the only thing about going out in an older car this time of year. If you put it away after driving, it's got all salt and stuff on
it's
it.
It's horrible,
you've got
it?
To get that stuff off or you're in trouble with. Something of that age, with all plated, lovely nuts and bolts in it and all the rest of it. It'll just kill it.
Yeah.
It'll rip it apart.
Yeah. Taylor, It's been about a week since we did the last podcast.
Yeah.
What's new?
Quite a lot, actually.
Oh.
I have officially fixed my M5.
Have you?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think I've spoken about this on the podcast yet. So I've spent thousands of pounds and months trying to work out what was wrong with it.
Yeah.
And I fixed it for 15 quid.
15 quid?
Yeah. I won't tell you what was wrong with it.
Okay.
Because there's a video on my channel coming out this week on it.
And what day?
On Wednesday.
Okay, so today is
today,
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Did it only cost 15 quid? Because the bit that I done for you of rectification was free.
Well.
I did it for love, as it were.
Really?
So,
Tom, you've never done anything for me for love.
Oh, I think you are kind.
Well, we got Santa Claus back.
Tom did it in exchange for a favour, no doubt. I know a list of favours.
There's always a deal somewhere with Tom, yeah.
But so I fixed it for 15 quid. Slightly broke it, and then Tom fixed it for me.
Okay.
Had to weld it up, didn't you, Tom?
Yeah, we had to do a little bit of welding.
Had to weld it up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you blow up the diff?
No, I had an issue involving a drill. Yeah.
No doubt you'll see it in the video.
Yeah. So, I'm like gassed with that because I've spent so long trying to fix that car and I've never actually owned it with full power.
Yeah.
I've never had it with a 507 brake, whatever it is.
Is it quite fast now?
It's unspeakably fast.
Really?
When you pulled away from my workshop, you drove it away, it's very loud.
Oh, it's so
very loud.
Is it obnoxiously? Is it too loud now?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Definitely.
Are you going to get it fixed?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's fully straight piped.
A V10 petrol with 500 something brake horsepower, fully straight piped.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's no valve.
Okay.
So it's straight piped all the time. I actually parked it at home the other day and I cold started it in the morning and I set two of my neighbor's alarms off.
Oh, no.
I mean, when you did leave my place, was it over Christmas? It was over the Christmas break.
Yeah, it was.
It was over the Christmas break. So there was literally no cars on the road, I hasten to add. And you left my place and I'm shutting the door down and you went blasting off down the road. I was like, oh, he's just going to get arrested.
Yeah.
There's no way, you know.
Do you remember my old Jaguar?
Yes, it was louder than that.
Really?
Oh, okay. Definitely.
But do you remember how loud that exhaust was? And we did some work at your place. Mm. And then we went for a spirited test drive, didn't we?
We did, didn't we? Yeah.
And you were going up and down this one particular road and there were some people on the side of the road. They looked a little bit offended. And then we got back to your workshop and then news came that the police were out looking for us.
Yeah, Meg rang and told us to go a different way because the cops were going up and down the industrial
And then it was
state
my time to drive home in that car. And I was like, I was just on the lookout for the cops the whole time. And you were like, go down that way. Don't go that way because the police are waiting for you.
Oh, my goodness.
That car got us in a little trouble, didn't it? Yeah.
But you didn't get rumbled, did you?
I didn't get rumbled, no. They can never catch me.
You two are a nightmare.
Isn't it?
Do you know what? It doesn't go with age, does it?
No, it gets worse.
You still enjoy loud cars and causing a bit of havoc. Obviously, like legally, but it's quite fun to go out and have
it is occasionally.
Car,
okay. Just blow off a little bit of steam, isn't it, Tom?
Yeah.
I mean, I own a Sierra Cosworth, for God's sake. You know,
that is true.
Honestly, I love the because I've been putting it all together. We repainted it, so I've been doing the bodywork stuff on it, and I put the whale tail back on it properly a couple of days ago, and then I found myself putting a microfiber cloth on the top of the whale tail and putting my cup of tea on it because it's just the
perfect
best.
Tie.
It's a perfect.
Did you buy a pizza as well? Put it on top.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, honestly, but it made me laugh because. When the kids were young and we used to take it out, we would literally use the whale tail as a picnic.
Oh, really?
Oh,
no,
that's cool.
That's cool.
Do you know, I'm embarrassed to say this. I only realised the other day that an Escort Cosworth is a rally homologation car.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just like something they made, but it was actually made so that they could create the Escort rally car.
Yeah.
Did not know that. But yeah, M5 is fixed.
Yeah.
Super excited about that. I've got a lot of plans for it. I've got to get the exhaust done because obviously it's too loud. It's a bit yobbo.
Yeah.
I'm also at the end of this week having the interior done.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about colours.
What you haven't done to the interior then?
So, you know, it's blue with Silverstone leather at the moment. Yeah. So it's got like that silvery white leather.
That won't do, will it?
I think, and I've asked a few opinions, I've always wanted to do this. I think I'm going to do it cinnamon.
Oh, I was hoping you'd say cinnamon.
Mm. So are you getting it Connolized? You're getting it painted?
I'm getting it properly dyed, yeah.
Yeah, you're getting it. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the leather's actually all right. It's not split or anything
that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're not getting a retrim. You're basically painting it effectively.
Yeah, effectively. But it will look brand new. So it'll be really nice.
I know the process,
But yeah, I wanted to go set a bit different. And I've never seen another Interlagos E60 M5 with cinnamon leather.
Yeah.
Or M5 in general, actually. I don't think they did it. I think you could get like a tan leather, but not cinnamon
leather. It's going to look the bollocks.
So where are you getting that done? Because that's like quite a, that's not an easy thing to do.
It's not. So I am friends with a guy called Raj, who's part of the E60 M5 owners group.
Yeah.
And he does it in his garage at home.
Wow.
And I've seen some of his work and it is unbelievable.
So yours, the cinnamon that you're going, are you putting that all over the seats, like center console, door panels, a full bit?
Yeah, so everything that's white currently. So I've got black carpets, a black dash.
Yeah.
I've got black door cards, but they have a coloured insert.
Yeah.
And then the rear seats and the center console.
Right, okay. So you're only painting the white bits.
Exactly.
Right, okay. That'll be fine. Because if you try and paint the black bits, you'll be in all sorts of trouble.
No, no. So all the black bits will stay black.
Okay,
fine. It'll clean them all up and make them really nice.
Yeah,
and then
all
the bits that are white, it'll do them in cinnamon. So it should look, well, I know it's going to look really, really cool.
Okay, so I'm going to be a bit naive now.
Mm.
What color is cinnamon?
I'll show you a picture.
It's like a nice kind of light leather look.
I can't visualize it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tan.
It's darker than tan.
Yeah,
it's the same colour as like Biscoff, like cinnamon.
Yeah, okay.
It's the best. It's Biscoff.
Yeah, it's Taylor's Biscoff. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
okay. It's Taylor's Biscoff.
Yeah.
I really like Biscoff. But yeah, that's in an E46 M3.
Yeah, it's tan.
It's sort of like tan, but I prefer.
I think
that
I've seen a few 911s with that sort of colour type in.
Are you saying it's a common colour and that he needs to be a bit more daring? Go pink.
I'll
go home.
I've got to be honest. I'll reserve my judgment till I see it.
Fair.
But it's
that's
not
fair.
Personally for me.
Anyway, any other news?
Jeff.
So Jeff is your Range Rover Sport.
Yes.
And I've just realised you have two cars. Yeah? You have many cars. But those two cars, Jeff and your M5.
Yeah.
Combined, they make over 1,000 horsepower.
They do that. Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Soon to be even more.
Yes.
Because the M5 is going to get chipped.
Yep.
And Jeff is going to get chipped by Tom.
Okay.
So you bought that off my mate.
Yes.
What, Jeff?
I bought Jeff Sport off of Tom's mate, Michael.
Okay.
He's a really, really nice bloke. He's part of one of the Jaguar racing groups.
Me and him have had many, many, many enjoyable races.
Oh,
together.
Is that right? Yeah,
rubbing
okay.
paint, as they say.
Yeah, rubbing is racing. Yeah.
Rubbing is racing. So the guy is, I'm going to say hello, Michael. Michael Hall.
He's a proper laugh. I like Michael.
He's a really, really, he's a diamond geezer.
Very down to earth. I turned up to see Jeff, the Range Rover, and I went, has it got a service history? He went, yeah, it's got a bit. Probably. It's probably forged. And I was looking for, I was like, Michael, this is a duplicate. And, like it doesn't really match up the service history. He's like, yeah, I know, it was proper dodgy when I bought it. But yeah, so I've actually been dailying Jeff.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What's the MPG like on something like that?
Right.
17, 18.
So my average MPG is saying it's 17.
Okay.
Even
I've
been doing motorway driving.
Oh.
Yeah.
But I've been doing quite a few miles recently because I went up to my unit a couple of times. I've been down to Robbins, Viking Detail, a couple of times. There was actually a period of last week of 3 days where I put a tank of fuel in it every day.
How much is a tank?
It's about
80 quid.
85, 90 quid.
Yeah. Oh, so it's quite a small tank then.
But I was doing it per day.
Yeah, that's annoying, isn't it?
That's
why I got rid of my KN. Because on occasion it would be a tank a day. And I'm like, this is boring.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. But yeah, Jeff, I've actually been doing a few bits to him.
Yeah.
I've had Apple CarPlay installed to the original head unit by Dan 12K, who does all of our Apple CarPlay stuff now. Which I love because it's got all the original. I'm a sucker for OEM parts.
I prefer the one in my Range Rover. The bigger screen.
Could not disagree with you.
Really?
More. Yeah, okay. I get that it's a bigger screen. It's a bit clearer, but it looks aftermarket. But I like it in mine. It's in the original screen.
Yeah.
And you hold a button and you go back to all the original infotainment. So I've got my 360 cameras. I've got my reverse camera.
Yeah.
And it still uses the original car's hands-free. So the microphone is actually good.
The integration now is amazing, isn't it?
What
they can do is brilliant.
It's literally as if it came out the factory like it.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I love stuff like that. I'm proper nerdy for making stuff like that work. So yeah, I've had that done. I've also had a pair of new headlights put in it.
Oh, really?
By Headlight Restorations UK.
You haven't nicked more of my headlights, have you?
No, that's Rory that does that.
Rory nicked your headlights?
Well, you know that lovely Disco 4?
Yes.
That you sold me.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, the headlights have disappeared and they're now on Blue Peter.
I thought you'd like that.
Are they really? Yeah.
Do you know, Rory took the whole Disco 4 front end off, put it on here on Blue Peter,
yeah,
parked it out here, and Rory was standing in front of it going, "Cool, it does look nice, dude. It looks young, blah, blah." He didn't even notice.
I didn't clock it at the time.
Didn't even notice.
Too many cars.
But yeah, there's a company called Headlight Restorations UK that refurbish headlights. So you can buy headlights off them and they, you know when they go all yellow?
Yeah.
They sand them down and lacquer them and re-coat them.
Okay.
Because reason they go yellow is the UV coating goes off of them.
Yeah.
So you can polish them up again, but they'd only last like a week or so and then they'll start to go yellow.
So they put the coating back on it as well?
Yeah, and they proper do them and they steam clean all the backs of the headlights and stuff.
Okay.
So he sorted me out some new headlights for it because mine had gone proper yellow and they look manky. Yeah. And and I've been loving it. And me and Tom have had a chat recently.
Bloody hell.
And we're going to get...
Plans are afoot.
We're going to get some bits.
Yeah.
We're going to tune him up.
Yeah, we're going to get a little bit more out of him.
And we should be at around...
Go on.
600.
Shut up.
600.
Yeah. 600 brake horsepower.
Yeah, that's not, shouldn't be too much of a problem.
And it's got a tow bar.
Oh,
I'm so excited. I'm genuinely
Have you sort of like gone on what you're intending to do after that as time goes on?
So I've always had this thing that I've always wanted to do.
Are you going to talk about the thing I want to do, which is get a speed record with a caravan?
So my dream, I've always dreamt, it's a ridiculous thought, of setting the Guinness World Speed Record of a caravan.
Yeah.
Which is 141.6 miles an hour.
It's got to be doable.
I reckon it is doable, but I found out the other day to enter into like the Guinness Book of Records, it's like $5,000 a day.
What do you mean
to get the people over to like watch you do it?
But I know the man. Well, I've done stuff with him.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
And it's not $5,000 a day.
$5,000.
Well, I don't know. I'll speak to him.
Can you have a chat with him?
Yeah.
If I'll get a runway, if you could get the man.
Tom will get the car.
You need to do a practice run or two, don't you, really?
So if there's any caravan people listening to this and you have like a streamlined caravan or something, if I could borrow it for a day. Yeah.
Should we join the caravanning club?
I don't think they'd be interested in your input.
No, we'll join it and then we'll do some dogging for a week and then we'll infiltrate them and then we'll...
I don't think that's how it works.
Oh, shit.
Is that why caravans are popular?
I'm not sure if that's a qualification. You know?
Is it not?
Do you think that's on the application form?
We'll give it a bloody good go.
What vehicle have you got? Range Rover. What caravan you got? Oh, we've got a Singer, da-da-da-da-da. Do you do dogging?
There is the hook for the podcast.
Oh my goodness. I wonder what the dogging world speed record is.
Oh.
Because you could be dogging while...
In the caravan.
Yeah. Although isn't dogging when you're outside the caravan watching people having sex? So you'd have to be in a car next to you in another very fast car looking out the window.
We're going to need a Porsche Cayenne or something.
We are, yeah.
I reckon as long as the windows are steamed up and there's an interior light on, it's classed as dogging.
Okay, so that's a tick, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right.
Have you ever seen dogging?
Yeah, of course I have.
Have you?
Yeah. I've done more than see it.
I will never forget.
Tom, are you all right?
There was one night I was on the way back from Southend. I'll never forget this. And I went down this back
lane. It would be Southend. You won't say me Southend.
I was Southend.
In the Sierra.
And my mate.
Getting worried about you.
My mate went, "Here, there's a dogging lane down there. Should we go and have a look?" And we turned off the A127. And I remember we came around this little loop and there was this back lane. It's a dead end. And we drove down there. And I remember
Did you get stuck?
No, there was a combo van or something. Like a Vauxhall combo van. And there was a... the passenger, it was parked up against that side of the road, so you're driving down, it's on the right hand side on the driver's side, and there was a bloke stood out with the door open and obviously his lady partner was just popped on the
okay, was she? Yeah.
What, on the bonnet?
No, on the chairs.
So he was inside, she was on the bonnet.
No, she was inside laying on across the chairs.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was
back seats.
And I drove past and I just saw his entire anus with the trousers down.
I'm proud.
And I just thought, this is definitely a dogging lane.
Yeah.
And
we
turned around.
Jesus.
By the time we came back down, they were sat in the car, the visors down. Like, they're so embarrassed. Tom, have you ever been caught dogging?
No, I don't believe so. No.
No.
I'm trying. No.
There's a story here somewhere.
No, no. I did think about going into story and I thought, no, I'm not going to go right, there.
Okay. Do you know what is funny is when I used
Meg
to have...
Meg won't forgive me.
when I used to have... Do you remember my Austin Allegra?
Yeah.
when I had that...
This is recent.
Yeah. It was a year or so ago.
Yeah,
it was
over recent. A year ago. Yeah.
I took that to the Haynes Motor Museum for Drive Tribe. Do you remember?
Yeah, we did the little lap, didn't we?
I drove it there and I remember Mike Brewer came up to my Allegro and he was like, oh, I used to have one of these. And he actually really liked it. And I remember like the first thing he said, bearing in mind there's a crowd of people.
Mike Brewer has no filter.
No, he has no filter. Yeah. I remember the first thing he said, oh, I've done unspeakable things in the back of an Allegro.
By himself, no doubt.
Very funny.
Oh, anyway, we've gone off track a little bit. Anything new? Anything else new?
The only other thing I can think of is currently working on the Touareg Overlander.
Yes.
And you will notice that it's in a lot of bits.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The engine is going to be coming out tomorrow, hopefully.
Yes.
So, Overlanding series is coming back.
It's a big, big job, that. I'm looking at it and I'll go, ooh, that's a lot to do.
I am slightly regretting it at the moment.
But you've gone too far now. The whole front end is off, so you've got to continue with it.
And,
you will see that in next week's episode.
This is in next week's episode?
Yeah.
Well, you haven't given me much time, have you?
Well, you've got it. Today's only Monday, Taylor. In and out, whip it in and out.
Yeah, but I've got some bits to do when it's out.
Well, then crack on. It's going to be a late night. Mm. Anyway, as for me, I celebrated my 31st birthday on the weekend.
Your what birthday?
All right, 33.
No, your what birthday?
51.
Hey, 41. Turned 41 on the weekend.
You're very old.
Yeah. Very, very old. I went to the gym on my birthday, actually.
Did you?
In the evening, yeah. And that was nice. Went out for a nice lunch with my wife, Rianne, and daughter, Amelia, while mum was at home. What else did I do? Yeah, it was just super chilled. I've also now got a personal trainer.
Have you?
I do, yes.
You've got a personal trainer?
I have got a personal trainer.
I didn't think you were the sort of person that would have a personal trainer. Because usually Alex knows best.
And what is said personal trainer training you?
I don't know yet. He hasn't given me a thing yet.
He hasn't given you a thing?
No. But I posted a picture of myself in the gym on Saturday. And
did you get a lot of comments on that? Did you get...
Yeah, saying, piss off. We don't want to see it. Your flabby gut. A guy I know, James from London Muscle. Have you heard of London Muscle, the app?
I have heard of London Muscle.
So James messaged saying, oh, well done. If you ever need any training, let me know. And I was like, all right. And he was like, oh, shit, I've actually got to do this now. But he's going to give me a whole training program, whole nutrition program. So I'm going to be starting that in the next few weeks. I got a call with him on Thursday and he wants to do a little kind of tour of my home gym and then he'll set me up.
Can James hit me up as well? I need a bit of PT.
No, he can't. He'll be far too busy with me getting rid of my gut.
Oh,
I'd be really interested to know if he actually thinks your technique is, you know, that was the one thing I found when I went to the gym with a PT was that it was more about, technique of lifting as it were.
I'm quite good at technique.
One thing I have learned about the short period that I've been going to the gym is everyone's technique is different.
Yeah.
Everyone does it differently and they do it their own way and they do it in a different order or whatever. But it's everyone is different in the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. The main thing is just do it slowly and at your own pace.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you get injured.
Yeah. Or I like nearly pass out like I did, nearly threw up. In
or
the
vomit. Yeah. I've done that before. Gone too hard and vomited.
I thought I was going to vomit. Yeah. It was really bad. Yeah.
You did that to me about a year ago. Was it? Yeah. No, it was a couple of years ago.
Oh, was that
it?
Before the Christmas party?
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened?
We did a gym session together, didn't we?
I remember
and
that.
You basically messed me up.
Did I?
And then the next day you were coming up to me and pinching me. And you were like, and I was,
if you're in pain the next day, you know it's bad.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe it was 2 days. Anyway, you set me up.
Yeah. And then I have got some other new news.
Oh, God. He's smirking. That means he's bought something.
I have finally bought myself another number plate. A personalized
hold on a minute.
Number plate.
You have... purchased.
This is my third one now, actually.
Wait, what is this?
I've got M3 Bow for the E46.
Yes.
I bought N24 Bow for my 911. So N24, Nürburgring 24. I'm obsessed with it.
Have you bought one for Blue Barney?
No. I have bought one and I can't put it on any car that I own.
I know what it is.
I'll show.
Yes. You bought Auto Alex.
I have bought Auto Alex, yeah.
So did you really?
AU70ALX.
That's cool.
That is really
are you,
cool.
Are you allowed to disclose how much you had to pay for said number? But I don't think that would be that expensive, actually.
It was 599 quid.
I see. I didn't
which I think is all right. Yeah, I don't think that's that deal. DVLA plate website doodah.
You know what that means?
You're going to have to put it on Vanny D or something.
You can't. No,
you can't because it's too... Yeah,
it's got to be 2020.
You know what that means?
Go on.
You've got to buy a new car.
I've got to buy a new car now, don't I? Yeah, yeah. I've been thinking about Porsche Panameras. They're nice, aren't they?
God.
So talking of number plates, I've... See, when we were on the 911s, I've got 992 LOL.
Shut up.
It's on his Jag.
It's on my Jag.
Oh, shit. Of course it is. Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, you have to buy a 992.
Yeah, I know. So I'd made my mind up some time ago that I was going to take the number plate off of the Jag.
Yeah.
Just because it's transferable and it's worth a couple of quid. I did get offered some money for it and I turned the offer down at the time.
What's something like that worth? About 10 grand?
I got offered 10 grand.
Yeah, okay.
What is a 992?
Well, the 992 is the latest generation of 911.
Oh, yeah, it is, isn't it?
So it goes 997,
and then 991,
992.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I've got 992 LOL.
You should sell that plate. That's worth a lot.
Or buy a 992.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
I know, it's tempting, isn't it?
But how much is a 992? They're big money, aren't they?
If you go like turbos, and oh, yeah.
Which you'd have to.
Yeah.
Well, no, you'd want a GT2 or a GT3 Touring or something.
Oh, yeah. GT3 news, 996 GT3. Do you remember when we were filming going to buy, I think it was the Range Rover?
Yeah.
We stopped in at Knoll Hill.
Yeah.
And we had a look at, there was the silver one, GT3. You know the man from whom I bought the 996, the high mileage one?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to look at that car this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you know, on 911 Talk, Jay, our videographer, has offered me his 996.
What is it? Is it a C4?
It's a Carrera 4S.
Oh,
so it's the wide body, the turbo body.
Yeah.
It's categorized.
Mm-hmm.
So it was previously a Cat D,
which
I wouldn't normally buy. But if it's a ticket into a cheap 911, I'm kind of here for it.
How much that?
It's a manual.
Yeah.
And it's got a sunroof and it's got a black interior, which is my criteria.
What color is it?
It's black.
Black on black.
Black on black, which I like. Because a lot of them are silver.
See, I've looked at a lot of the ones I've looked at. I really think a black interior in a 911 looks better for me. You know,
I agree.
Right? But I go, oh, that's a nice colour. I quite like that. It's a nice like dark blue. And then it's got a tan interior.
Yeah,
cinnamon.
I don't like
you don't like cinnamon.
Cinnamon.
Yeah, I know. That's why I don't like it.
Cinnamon.
Oh, can you do me a favour? Can you please say Vietnamese?
Vietnamese.
Do it again.
You shouldn't laugh at him. You shouldn't laugh at him for this. It's quite funny.
It's so funny.
But yeah, so he's offered me that.
Yeah.
So
how much?
He said 12.
Okay.
Which is very cheap.
That's
for
That's very cheap.
It's never had an IMS, but I can do that.
Yeah.
And it does need like a bit of bodywork.
It's never had an IMS.
Good video.
IMS
content.
Bearing.
Intermediate what? Shaft.
Yeah. It's the bearing that goes in the crank for the gearbox.
Oh.
I believe
and it goes kaput, yeah.
Yeah, they can, or they fall out and they do something. I don't know. But it's a very common thing on those.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
So
that's a must.
Yeah. But, you know, I'd quite like to do something like that. It's quite fun.
It'd be good video content for your channel as well.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it is, crucially, a manual.
There you go.
If you were going to buy said car, with your new one in, one out rule, what would be out?
I would consider selling the 205 for it.
Really?
Yeah, because, like, I love that car.
So I still
enjoy it.
Question. You could have got 20 grand from it for Tom.
I could have done, yeah.
He did send me a message the other day. He goes, is that offer still there? And I said,
you didn't.
He did.
What would you pay for it today, Tom?
I'm in a selling mood. I'm in a selling mood. Oh. And I've got one as well, haven't I? I've still got my 205 in the storage unit, which I need to bring out. And so I've made a really conscious decision that I'm not going to buy any more restoration projects or anything daft. I want to complete on what I've got, sell certain things and change them for certain things. So if a 911 came along or something like that, something that's really on my radar that I really want, and it's a good, nice running vehicle, get in and drive it, haven't got to spend a load of time on it, then I would potentially buy it.
So if someone watching this has got one of those cars, how can they contact you?
Oh, just bung me an email or an Instagram message or something like that.
What's your email?
info@tomlenthal.co.uk.
All right.
Instagram's a bit tricky.
Yeah. Before we continue, quick shout out to this week's sponsor of this podcast. That is Car Vertical, without whom our videographer, our, you know, do anyone like transport man, Jamie, he'd be in a bit of trouble, wouldn't he? Because he's been in the market recently for an E36 328i coupe. He is obsessed with the things.
Mm-hmm.
And he found one recently on, was it Auto Trader?
Facebook, I believe.
Was it Facebook? Yeah. Okay, yeah, yeah. He was very interested. And then he actually did a Car Vertical report, which, let me just get it up. But you know a bit more about the car, don't you? Some like basic details. We won't go too deep into it, but...
So what you're saying is you've done a Car Vertical check. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're glad that you did.
Yeah, because this car, this E36, it was listed as a manual.
Mm.
And it was listed as a certain color. You did a Car Vertical check and transmission type, automatic.
Yeah, we were going to go up and, again, a bit like the KN.
Yeah.
We were going to go up and see this car.
So this is actually two cars in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was in Manchester.
Yeah.
And he was really excited and wanted to go and see the car. And I said, this is very rare, this car. It was in Santorini blue.
Yeah.
They don't come up for sale very often. And I said to him, run a Car Vertical check on it just to make sure that it's all as it's cracked up to be. And it turns out it wasn't, because it was a manual, but it was originally an auto and it wasn't listed as that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually the wrong blue.
Does it really harm their value if they've been manual swapped?
The colour is one thing, because it's been painted, which is fine because it looks in nice condition.
Mm.
But yeah, it was originally an auto and it is a it is a manual. Which, do you know what? If the conversion's been done okay, fine. But the value has got to match that.
Because it's been modified.
Exactly,
hasn't it?
Yeah. It's not an original car.
You're paying factory manual prices for what is a factory automatic.
The car has to match its value. Yeah. And in this case,
a manual swap car is effectively, you know, less
bizarre. It devalues it.
It does devalue a little bit.
It does. And, the price has to match that. And without Car Vertical, we wouldn't have known that. So
Absolutely, we
saved again another 3.5 hour journey because it was in Manchester.
Exactly. So two cars in 2 weeks and a lot of time saved thanks to Car Vertical. So it's clear then that running a Car Vertical check has saved a lot of time and effort and potentially money for our man, Jamie. So to check that the car, van or motorbike that you want to buy, or if you want to check one for your friend or even your own car, is a good one, then always run a Car Vertical report before even getting out the door. Car Vertical will tell you if the car has been crash, stolen or clocked. And as ever, Car Vertical doesn't only work in the UK, it works in Australia, America and most of Europe. And using Car Vertical couldn't be simpler as well. All you need to do is punch in the registration or use the Car Vertical app to scan the VIN number, and then it will give you all the details that you need. So use the link below and use the promo code AlexCars to get 20% off your Car Vertical report. Anyway, on with the podcast. Let's talk about pointless modifications. Mm-hmm. Now, I saw a reel. I can't remember what it was. It was a guy in his garage or like a big workshop talking about the three most pointless modifications. And I want us to go through the group and see if that matches what he was saying. Because there are so many cars driven by people of questionable tastes and they drive past me and it makes me absolutely mad with rage.
Mm.
The first one, I think we'll all agree on, pops and bangs. Excessive pops and
excessive
bangs.
To a point. Ooh, it's all right.
As soon as you let off the gas, it goes pop, 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 pop,
yeah,
pop,
constantly.
It's just too much.
If it's all the time, then no. But if I'm giving it a little bit of giving it the beans,
It's not mechanical. It's all engineered to do that. Yeah, and as a dad now, and as a dog owner as well, I get so angry.
Oh,
I get
so old.
I'm so old.
You are
like,
so old.
Yeah. What does that make you? If I'm so old, that makes you prehistoric.
Yeah. So
it's
we used to. We used to do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
You drive down the road and turn the car off and keep the throttle
wide.
Key bang it.
Do you know, my mate did that once with an SD1 and I saw the back box fly off.
Honestly, you could really wreck the baffle.
Yeah, pops and bangs mode. Do we agree on that? Like the modern...
Excessive,
really?
Excessive.
Yeah, if it's excessive, then definitely.
What else annoys you, Tom?
I don't really know, actually. I mean, you know, I probably don't pay attention in the same manner that you do.
Okay.
You know? So you've caught me a little bit off guard because I haven't really had time to think about it. But
4D or 3D number plates? Is that something that you look at? And you're,
I don't really.
You're not fussed?
Okay. I'm not fussed. It's a number plate. I do, you know, some of the ones that are like really, really dark, where they're obviously trying to avoid the cameras and stuff like that. I understand their reasoning for it, but I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
You know, what we used to...
Take your number plates off.
What we used to do back in the day was get a bit of fairy liquid, squirt it over your number plate, grab a bit of dirt and just lob it on it. Back in my day. Back in the day, you know, we didn't have dark number plates. We had fairy liquid and dirt. You know. But yeah, I'm trying to think something. Yeah, some of the overly tinted. Okay, right. Yeah. Overly tinted windows.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people that drive 4x4s with like 24 inch wheels on.
Oh, yeah. Because it affects the object.
Because I just think, what is the point? That infuriates me where cars have overly low profile tires and stupidly large wheels, which just ruin the ride and ruin the car. And and it's all for looks. And
what about wheel spacers? Are you all right with wheel spacers?
I quite like a wheel spacer.
Yeah. I was thinking about putting wheel spacers on my Range Rover, Tom. What do you think? 25 mil all round.
Why?
Yeah, I don't think it'll.
Because I think
it'll
just push it out a little bit.
Why?
Yeah, but you said you like wheel spacers. I do. I thought we were on the same team.
You know, if on your Porsche.
Okay,
sure,
so why? For better handling. Why the stance better handling? You know.
Why are you going to take it on a track day?
Yeah, B road blaster that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, why? Why?
Oh, right, look, 50 mil all round.
You've got a.
I know. I'm going to put them on.
You've got a luxury 4x4.
Yeah, all right, Tom. Yeah,
and you're going to ruin it. So me, definitely low profile, big wheels on SUVs.
Tom likes a comfy riding in old age.
It's good for the gout, isn't it?
It is good for the gout, My two most hated mods ever. Tinted lights.
Oh, yeah.
Because A, it looks crap. Yep. And B, you can't see where you're going and no one can see you. Mm. So what's the point?
Yeah.
And the second one is those plastic fake caliper covers.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I know. They're
people
awful.
Clip them on and go, I've got four pots. Have you? They're not good.
By the time I first saw them, I was fortunate enough to be able to afford a proper caliper. But I've got to be honest, if I wasn't able to afford a proper caliper, would I have been tempted on my Mark III Escort? Probably.
Probably. Yeah, if you're 17 or whatever, fair. But yeah, it's like the third one.
Yeah.
Those Formula One brake lights.
Yes, I was going to say.
Annoying.
Oh, what the...
The flashing one.
Yeah.
You get them on Golfs mainly, don't you?
People put them on standard cars. I see like a Golf with 15-inch wheels and no other modifications. It's like a 1.4 safety. And it's just a diffuser and an F1 light.
It's safety. How about that?
It's ridiculous.
My P8, when you drive it fast and then you brake really hard,
The
indicators flash.
The hazards. Most modern cars,
Most modern cars do that. And I'm like, I'm not even going that fast. What's wrong with you? It's almost like when I'm on the track doing a track day, then they're going crazy.
When you're hacking away on a track day.
Hacking away, as I do.
Yeah, as you do.
It's usually curbing away.
Yeah.
Curbing his way around the racetrack.
I don't have a lot of defence for that, really.
When he goes bowling, he always puts the sides up and just smashes it straight.
Maybe that's what they do on track, because he's a bit slow. They put the sides of the track up. So he just
and they're like, right, everyone off.
I'm bouncing down.
That's why he was a bit slow at land now, because they didn't have the sides up.
A bit slow. He was...
Right, moving on.
Sorry, <okay. laughs> Don't worry, you'll get your revenge, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I am sure.
You have to beat him.
You have to beat me, Tom.
It's happening.
It's a given, is it?
I already know it's a given. I don't even need to lose the weight or train. I could still smash it. It's not a problem.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. How much do you weigh now?
About 16 and a half stones. So I said about 100. I'm float between 105 and 110 kilos.
Okay. So let's say 105. Yeah. Give you benefit of the doubt. Even if you make it down to 90 kilos, we will then put 15 kilos back on your bike.
Why?
Because you said you don't need to lose any weight for it. You're that confident. So that's my handicap, to put that weight back on your bike. And the weight will be very high up. It will be on top of your helmet.
No. If I've reduced my center of gravity, that's my business.
God, I'm going to have to stop eating. I'm going to try and get down to 50 kg.
50?
Just so I have a weight advantage.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
50?
No, not 50, Tom. That would be silly.
Well, you're quite short, so I don't really know.
All right. All right. Let's now, it's my turn to say let's move on now. We have had an email from a man called Will, and he says, new car recommendation. Hi, guys. Big fan here. I have a 2017 Alfa Romeo Giulia. I love it dearly. However, due to new circumstances, it has to go. I know you've completely switched off here, but I'll bring it back to
Land Rovers. No, that's all right. Alfa, no problem.
In its replacement, I need a practical family car without losing out on cool car park status. I have a maximum budget of £10,000 and have been looking at a 2013 Mercedes ML30, as well as a few Discovery 5s. It must be reliable as I would use it for work and travel with the family. Please respond as I am really stuck and need your help. Will.
I don't think any SUV is reliable, so you might as well go all out and get yourself a Range Rover Sport 5-litre supercharged.
That's the worst advice ever.
Disco 5. But just don't get it with a 2-litre Ingenium in it.
Yeah, they're not
They
good.
Put the 2-litre in the Disco 5.
Do you know you can get a BMW X5 with 2-litre diesel in it?
Oh, that makes me so sad. Mm. That's so dumb.
Yeah, 2-litre Ingenium.
Okay, so what engine can you get in a Disco 5? Disco 5 for 10 grand? No.
That seems, yeah.
I didn't think you'd get a Disco 5 for 10 grand. It seems
you can
much.
Get a Disco 4 at a push, can't
they
you?
They do quite a nice, I think they do a 2-litre petrol engine. I'm fairly sure they still put the 3-litre diesel in.
Okay, that's what you want from a Land Rover specialist. I'm fairly sure.
I'm a bit out of the loop.
That's because you work in the office, just smashing your keyboard.
I work
the whole
in the office on old
you
cars do, all the time. Yeah.
So Disco 4 is realistic. Disco 5 unrealistic. Are we?
Yeah,
saying
I would have said Disco
for that price range.
Okay. Yeah, 10 grand. What about the Merc though? That's.
I've never liked those. No? They're so boring.
Are they?
Oh, they're so boring.
It's not an ML63 that the TDC guys.
No,
that's good.
Yeah, that's cool.
Any other suggestions then for an SUV? If it has to be an SUV for 10 grand.
I wouldn't actually get a Range Rover Sport.
Of course you
would. I would buy a Porsche Cayenne 3-litre diesel V6 because they're really good.
Okay.
And as long as they're well looked after, they don't really suffer from that many issues. And they're good to drive.
I think that's the key with all of these vehicles that we're talking about. You just got to find one that's been well maintained and well looked after.
Which is hard these days.
It is, because people don't tend to continuously invest in maintaining cars. And
that's because it's expensive.
Yeah, and the service intervals are way, way, way too far apart. And
yes,
that is true.
20,000 miles with some of the cars now, isn't
it? Yeah, that's just rubbish.
I don't think I could even if I owned a car that I didn't care about, I don't think I could leave it that long
I do firmly believe that a lot of the reason why, we get sort of like some of the failures that we do is because we are leaving it so long in between servicing vehicles, and they say, oh, the oil's better, this is better, that's better. So if the oil's so good and the service interval's correct, why are we getting engines blow up?
Also, as well, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, like a lot of hybrids, petrol hybrids, you start it up, you go out to it in the morning. I don't know about you guys. I start my car up, I let it come off cold start, and then I pull away. Yeah. I always let it come off a cold start. I don't always feel bad. Like, I've got mechanical sympathy. When you've got a hybrid, people get in them, they drive away on electricity. The engine's still stone cold. It's not been started. And then you're driving up the road and all of a sudden it'll kick in.
Yeah.
And you kick it in from stone cold start, like 3000 RPM straight away.
Yeah, that's true.
And it must prematurely wear it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not going to help, is it? Let's face it.
Also, the fact that with hybrids, the engine is kicking in and out all the time.
Yeah.
That's got to be bad for it. Like, that's why I switched off start stop on my cars as well, because I don't want it on, off.
Well, they say that we get a lot more timing chain issues and stretch because of stop start, where they're constantly turning on and turning off. And, there probably is something in it. But I think the reason that we're not seeing problems with the hybrid engines or the hybrid, cars with the petrol engines or the diesel engines is because although they are getting these cold starts, they're not actually doing the mileage, are they?
No.
So if you go and buy a second-hand hybrid car and it's done, I don't know, let's say 50,000 miles.
Yeah.
How many miles has the actual engine done? Do they, I haven't looked, but does it actually give you a figure of how much it's done on electric?
I don't know, actually. I think you just get one overall reading, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I don't think it tells you.
I think some of them do give a breakdown.
Oh, okay.
I believe so. Okay. I've never bought one. But anyway.
That'd be very interesting to look.
We're getting a little bit off topic for our man, aren't we?
What's your suggestion?
£10,000, I would also say a Cayenne. A well-maintained Cayenne. Yeah, I can't think of anything better.
That was our suggestion last week.
It was, yeah. Anyway, we're going to move on to News. This is our final segment. There's not a lot of news. It's quite like boring for news this week.
Okay.
But I have found one piece that, Tom, you will actually relate to.
Go on then.
Okay. The news is compulsory eye tests every 3 years for elderly drivers as part of Labour's new road safety strategy. If you fail, you could lose your licence.
Okay.
And I actually downloaded the picture that they used in the news article. I think it was on Auto Express. So if you're listening with your ear holes, it is a picture of an old man sitting very close to the wheel, and we have superimposed Tom's head with the hats, you know, the hat with the ears from Vietnam. Yeah. So yeah
I have to have an eye test every two or three years for my race license.
Oh, do you?
I don't think that's massively fair.
Why?
What, when you hit 70?
I get that it's a safety thing, right? Yeah. I fully get that.
I think most people go and have an eye test quite regularly anyway, by the time you've hit that age. So, yeah, you know.
But also, old people don't really do that many miles. They go to the shops, they nip around and blah, blah, blah. And that is their key to freedom, really, a lot of the time.
I was listening to some debate on the TV or radio the other day, and you know, it was about who are the scariest drivers on the road. They were talking generational, like, you know, young drivers, middle-aged drivers, you know, and it was sort of like quite you know, unanimous that the older generation, sort of like, but when I say old, I'm talking sort of probably 75 plus, you know, people found the most sort of like scary. Yeah.
But that's got nothing to do with eyesight. It's just awareness, isn't it?
Yeah. So what are they saying? What age have you got to go and get an eye test?
Over 70.
Yeah, well, I think most over 70s go and get an eye test anyway.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
But I don't think that's the key to road safety, really. I think that's the last thing we need to be looking at.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people out there, and trust me, I see them every day, that have got very good eyesight, but they don't use what's behind the eyes.
Yeah. No, that's because they're looking at their bloody iPhone.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I saw a man this morning in a Porsche 911. I think it was a 996. And I shit you not, I drove past just to have a look at him, and he had his phone in front of him like that. It was so blatant. I was like, you must be so dumb to do it that blatant. Like, you can usually see people with their heads down, can't you?
Yeah.
And the phone by the side.
So what is it, 6 points now if you get caught?
I don't know. What is it?
I don't know.
I think it's going to be 3 or 6, isn't it? You know,
I hope it's six.
Either way, you don't want it to happen.
No.
There's no excuse, is there? Because there's so many good, like you say, you know, like Apple CarPlay, things you can put in older cars now and all the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
And even then, if I'm really honest, I don't really think it's such a great thing, you know, on modern cars, full stop, sitting there. Because if you're not looking ahead and you're doing that and you're looking down there for any more than a few split seconds.
The lines are very blurred, aren't they, with technology? You can't use your phone, but you're allowed to use the infotainment system.
Yeah.
Tesla, case in point.
And a lot of them, and I think, as in, you make the point with Tesla, you know, if you, anything that you need to do, with like putting your heated seat on or turning the heat on, you know, whereas, you know, I'm going to use my Disco 4 that I turned up in here today as an example. I don't even think, you know, I'm driving that.
I just know where the button is.
You know, so there is a lot to be said for that old school. And I think there was, someone said to me, and I don't know how true this is, that the new Range Rover got a bad safety rating because it was too much touchscreen stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And they've actually introduced a couple of knobs for certain functions because it helped lift their safety.
Yeah. Did they put you in the driver's seat?
Yeah.
Look, I can't see none of this.
Yeah. So even, the bods who sort of like look at this sort of stuff are starting to, realize that, you know, having a few familiar places to, for the things that you adjust whilst you're driving on a journey.
Intuitive things like heated seats or heated controls, they all need to be manual controls.
I think so. And I really do think that it's, it's not just me being old fashioned and all the rest of it. And I don't want, you know, there is a definite safety element to it.
I'm fully with you on that. Anyway, that now brings us to a close for this podcast. But before we go, Tom, what have you got coming up? What are you excited about?
I'm excited about seeing the next installation of the Vietnam video.
Fantastic, which is coming out tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about going through the edit. Mike is currently in a whole world of pain. Also, yeah, props to our editor, Mike.
He's great.
He sent me the draft for day one of the Vietnam trip yesterday, being Sunday. He works on the weekends as well. I've told him not to, but he genuinely enjoys it.
We said this earlier. People would probably imagine that... I get to see a lot of videos before they come out, but I don't. You guys, Rory, and you know the editors deal with all that sort of stuff. The first time I see it is when it came out. So
it's our job to make you look good, Tom.
Yeah. So I'm just as excited as everyone else to see it when it comes out. I have got another trip planned with you guys coming up in the future, and I'm looking forward to that as well.
Fantastic. Yeah. But in the meantime, are you looking for someone to potentially join your workshop?
Oh, yeah, no. So, yeah, we're on the lookout at the moment for a new mechanic. So we're after a fully skilled technician.
Yeah,
don't actually mind if they're JLR or not. You know, it'd be great if we can find ourselves a fully fledged, you know, level 4, level 3 JLR technician.
Yeah.
But I just want someone that's capable, wanting to work, you know, good attitude towards work and all that sort of stuff. And as long as they're a good technician and good at pulling cars apart and putting them back together, I can teach you all the product knowledge. We've got all the product knowledge. We can teach you that. So if there's anyone out there in the Reading area and Bainstoke area where we are that needs, that's thinking of doing something a little bit more interesting, then by all means, please, send us an email or get hold of me on Instagram.
What's the email address?
Email is info@tomlenthal.co.uk. Fantastic. And Instagram is, Tom Lenthal Limited.
Lenthal is limited. Fantastic. All right. And with that, we will leave it there. Taylor, any other final words?
Oh, no, I was just thinking about taking the engine out of this Touareg. I better crack on with it.
Yeah.
I just keep looking at it in the background thinking...
You've got a very long night ahead.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you very much for watching this with your eye holes and listening with your ear holes. We will see you next time on the Auto Alex podcast. Whatever you do, do it to the best of your ability. We love you guys. And we're looking forward to... Food and Fuel in April, Shedfest in May, and then another 2 Food and Fuels. It's going to be a very, very jam-packed year for events and road trips. Mm. And maybe, because of its success, going back to Vietnam. You might have to book that in with your lovely wife.
I've already buttoned her up, don't you?
Fantastic. From us, thank you very much. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Cheers, bye.